Let's please turn your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. 2 weeks ago, we were in, we started with chapter 2, which was after chapter 1 was, God, why are you letting me see all this evil in my country of Judah? Everybody's killing each other and lack of judicial system. You know, there's no justice. And God answers Habakkuk and said, yeah, I see it too, and I'm going to judge it. I'm going to send Babylon. And God's judgment is going to use Babylon against Judah and utterly destroy it. And then Habakkuk goes, oh, Babylon's going to kill us all. How can you use such a wicked country to come? They don't take prisoners. They just slaughter. And then he says, I'll stand by, chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand my watch and set myself on a rampart and watch to see what he, God, will say to me, which is, you know, don't tell me what to do, and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. So God looks at all of souls on the earth as two different souls, the proud and those who live by faith. And when he says this is for a long time, well, it was not very long until Babylon came. You know, he didn't have to write it down on a stone and make it last a long time for just Babylon to come, because it came just a few years after. The first attack, by the estimate of when he wrote it, was a couple of years later. Nebuchadnezzar came the first time to haul people away. And he would have started seeing the judgment. But you know, what's the last day's judgment? What's the judgment we're about to watch happen in this world? What is it coming as a result of the proud? They're going to be judged, but those that walk by faith, they're not. It's the same thing. Throughout all of history, all the misery, the murder, the thievery, the immorality, the idol worshiping, the coveting and stealing people's stuff and everything that God hates. And he was seeing the Jews do it. He was seeing his Jews being just as wicked as the Canaanites. And so I'm going to bring Babylon and judge you. And yes, Babylon's wicked because they're also proud. And I'm going to judge them when they start being proud. And yeah, we conquered the Jews and let's take these vessels of gold and stuff out of the temple and start worshiping our gods. God judged them. He judged them in one night. Belshazzar was killed and the Babylonians were defeated by the Medo-Persians. And he goes, so here's the deal, Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith and the proud is going to get judged. And if the proud ends up being Judah, they're going to get judged. If the proud ends up being Israel in our day, and is there pridefulness in Israel today, rejecting of God, not living by faith, living by what they trust in and everything else? Yes, so it's going to get judged. Is there pride in the world system today, in the other countries of the world? Is there pride? Does anybody even mention Jesus? And in fact, all these discussions I'm seeing, even with conservatives over the current Hamas-Israel debate, do you know what's completely always left out, totally left out? What God has to say. Nobody is talking about like what we did last Sunday. What we did last Sunday is, this is what God says about his Jews. And they think that people that appeal to the Bible, we just make things happen. We are making the disaster. We are making the world head to Armageddon because we as Christians just kind of want to make these Bible prophecies come true. That's the way they look at it, which is why they think we need to be exterminated. Because we're making it happen. No, God knows the end from the beginning. He told us what was going to happen, and we see it heading that way. So now God lists the reasons that he judges nations, peoples, because of their pride. And then as we're going through this, compare this to the way the world is today. And he's expounding on why he judges the proud and the symptoms of the proud. Indeed, because he, the proud, transgresses by wine, he is a proud man, and he does not stay at home, because he enlarges his desire as hell, and he is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all people. So He starts by talking about a person, but he also concludes with the way a whole nation can get that way. A whole nation, he gathers himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. Is there a global government trying to govern the whole world right now? Through what? Through faith or through pride? Through trying to control, never being satisfied. I have all these trillions of dollars of assets, you know, BlackRock, and what do they want to do? They want to make all those assets take over all of your properties, and you will own nothing in the coming collapse. And you'll be happy about it, and they'll own everything. And they're never going to be satisfied. See, people that are living in pride, I rule, I've got the power, I got the money, I can turn all these minions into my slaves. That's the way they look at them. And that's the way things are being looked at in Israel at the time of Habakkuk and today. And as I mentioned before, you know, they transgress with wine. Everybody's getting high. Is everybody getting high in the world today? You heard about the guy that was tried to crash an Alaska Airlines plane, right? Yeah, and so here he is. He's a pilot. A pilot. And he's taking Alaska Airlines flight from Edmonds to down to San Francisco or someplace. Huh? Painfield, Edmonds, Everett. Painfield, Everett. Going from Painfield, Everett, down to someplace in California. And the pilot and co-pilot let him in there and sit in the jump seat. You know, because he's a pal. He's a fellow Horizon pilot. And then he reaches over and flips both chicken switches for fires in the two engines, which shuts down all fuel to the engines. And they immediately saw that he was doing that, and somehow, you know, the delay in doing the switch, I guess, praise God for delays, I guess, they were able to put it back in position and subdue him. And then his reason, I am not guilty, he's pled not guilty. You know why? I was just really been depressed, I've been tired, I haven't been sleeping, and it was the first time I've done hallucinogenic mushrooms. Do you think they'll say, oh, you were doing mushrooms. Okay. Not guilty. Let him off. There you go. Not guilty. So everybody doing wine, getting high, doing all this stuff that's happening and destroying even professionals that should know better. They're in a plane and he didn't even know what he was doing. The demon inside of him was saying, let's kill 100 or whatever people were on there. Oh, how many people were on there? They said how many counts of 80-some people. So, doesn't stay home. People that are into drugs and alcohol, do they stay home and just, you know, come back from work, stay home? What do? They want to go out? They want to go to the bar? They want to pick up on people? They want to go find some place to do in the darkness of the night? Enlarges his desire? Lust of the flesh. What can I do now? Oh, this drug is kind of wearing off on how cool it is. Is there another one? Is there another one? Is there another high that I can do? Never getting satisfied and gathers himself all nations and heaps for himself. But was Assyria ever satisfied with having Nineveh and the people around there? No. They wanted to conquer the world, and they got a military together and say, hey, look, we're going to take everything you have. And if you try and fight it, if you give up, we're going to let you come out. We're going to sit you in somebody else's land. But if you fight us, we're going to pile all your heads up in the front of the gate of the city. And we're going to teach people how ruthless we are so they just give up. And then the Babylonians conquer the Medo-Persians. The Babylonians conquer the Assyrians. The Medo-Persians conquer the Babylonians. Was Rome ever satisfied? Are the globalists today ever satisfied? They're not going to be sad. They just keep on their lusts of just controlling the world. They never get satisfied. Well, not all these take up a proverb against him and a taunting riddle against him and say, woe to him who increases what is not his. Yeah, can we say amen? Woe to him who increases what is not his. Theft has gone rampant. Theft is taking what's not yours. People taking people's houses. People taking 86 vehicles a day get taken in King County. just people that just think that it's theirs. Mobs, continuing mobs pouring into mini marts and taking everything that they can get their hands on and going. And just they care nothing about taking. And we say, so woe to them. How long, Lord, until it's woe? Well, if we're trusting in men to fix this, not going to happen. But God's saying, he's saying how long? Oh, I'm going to deal with it. I'm dealing with it with Judah back in Habakkuk's day. I'm dealing with her in a couple years. Nebuchadnezzar's coming. James 4:1. Let's turn there, because this is really today as well. James 4:1. And this is so important when people say, oh, there's war and blah, blah, blah. God's word tells us where wars come from, and it's in James. Will not all those who take up a proverb against him and taunting riddle against him, woe to him who increases what is not his. James, where do wars and fights come from among you? Individually, with a thief against the landowner or the property owner. Nation-wise, we've got America, but we're going to steal what you have. Russians, I'm going to steal what you have. Right? You know, Chinese, I'm going to take what you have. Globalists, I'm going to take what the whole world has. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure? Habakkuk. That war in your members. You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You do not, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So where the wars come from among you, you covet. You want somebody else's stuff. And that can be at an individual level. I want your stuff. You're rich. I'm not. You've oppressed me. And all the government is just doing this baloney about equity and equality. And so I'm more disadvantaged than you. So I can steal your stuff because the government's decided they don't want to deal with that at all. They covet. Thou shalt not covet. One of the big ten, because God knows coveting in the wicked fallen heart of man. And when it's unleashed, it creates global problems. Go back to Habakkuk 2:6. Do you know how much people are in debt for that? We hit a milestone, I guess, this week. The American people's debt just went over $1 trillion. Now, is that able to be paid back? No. How about the 33, 34, whatever trillion dollars we have in national debt growing exponentially? It's never going to be paid back. Now, what the nations around that they bought our T-bills and other things over the years to support our debt, do they think they're ever going to get paid? So if they don't get paid, who stole from who? You know, if they don't get paid, we stole from them. Which is why they're waking up to this and they're saying, you know, so people say, man, look at the Chinese military buildup. It's not a military buildup. It's a collection agency. And they're going to break our fingers. That we owe the world, and it's all because we have a printing press that our governments and the way we wanted to live, and because people are not God-fearing and they don't care about ripping people off and just give me the money for a loan, I'm good for it, but I'm not going to be good for it. We are basically telling the world, we stole from you. Will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken who oppress you? And you will become their booty. And so we can give credit to our own American people, and then we can enslave them with 20% interest rates. Can you imagine that? Credit card, most of it's credit card debt of that $1 trillion. And most people on there are paying 20% interest, enslaving them. Hey, you bankers that are actually using usury to enslave people underneath you to get rich doing nothing but, you know, crunching computer algorithms. someday they're going to be fed up and they're just going to say, forget you. And we're, as a whole nation, everybody's ready to just give up. And when that happens, all the cards come tumbling down. It's all over. And because you, Israel, Babylon, Mystery Babylon, Last Days, World Empire, have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. Because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city and of all who dwell in it, all the proud elites of national governments that plunder other nations because they can will be judged by the people that turn against them and ultimately by God, who sees it on the global scale. See, it's going to be hard for the people to rise up to go against the globalists when they pull the trigger on us. Why? Because we're going to be greatly reduced in population by their design, number one. And number two, they're going to have the central bank digital currency. And that will prevent, in the days of Habakkuk up until right now, people can really rise up and throw a fit and they can do things. Remember how the Canadians wanted to do that during COVID? And what happened? All these trucks show up and we go, no, you are not going to enslave us. You are not going to shut us down because we won't get your kill shot. And so what did the government do? They shut down they knew by the phones that were inside of those trucks, everybody who was there. They went to the banks, they shut down all their bank accounts, and their businesses were destroyed. And here they were basically bringing a knife to a gunfight. The way people have been protesting forever to bring grievances to their government. But when the government can control everybody's purse, then the ability to complain is going to be over. And that's why the Bible says the Antichrist rules the world like nobody has ever ruled the world. And people will be saying, as the Bible says, who can make war against him? Nobody will be able to make war against him. But here, people, because people get upset when they finally find out how they're being enslaved. And verse 9, woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. Let's turn to Revelation 6:15. It's basically, woe to him who is one of those elites, billionaires. And I know this as a fact. I know bodyguards for billionaires that have told me that they're sent by the people that hire them to just go out and look for security areas. So that at any moment when they're traveling, if something is going on, they can get to a safe house. And that they're taken care of. And is that going to work during the tribulation period? So, I mean, we know these guys have tunnels. We know they have bomb shelters. We know they've stored it up. We know all their billions have gone and made sure that they're going to be okay when the chaos happens. But let's see what God says. In Revelation 6:15, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, everybody, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, Jesus, for the great day of his wrath has come and who is able to stand? And Habakkuk is talking about God's day of wrath coming to the Jews in 605 BC at first, and then 586 BC is when Jerusalem's destroyed. But there's another wrath that goes to the whole world. The whole world is in pride. The whole world is in the rebellion of this chapter, and God will deal with it. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 6:6. And this is how we get away from joining in this world of, I've got to climb to the top. I've got to have what my neighbor has. I've got to invest so that I can be a millionaire, so that I can be somebody and have this never-ending going after a lust that will never satisfy. And God told Timothy to give us this. Those people who want to live by faith, to give us this piece of extremely good advice. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Well, because without food and without clothing, you are really miserable, beyond miserable. And, you know, just finding yourself in America, nobody's without clothing. I mean, nobody. But it used to be you only own the clothes on your back. And if you had to wash or do this or do that, then you became a problem. And if it got tattered or whatever, you really, all of a sudden, and the weather comes in, like today, we just got our winter arrived today. And something happens, and you don't have enough clothes, and you have a house that doesn't have any heat. You're not going to sleep well. You ever tried to sleep when you are freezing? It is difficult. So we should be content. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not cold and shivering. I have proper clothing and bedding. Praise Jesus, I was able to eat today. But those who desire to be rich, and there's nothing wrong with being rich, but it's, I want to be rich, instead of, I want to serve Jesus, and if he blesses me with riches, I want to use it to his glory. I want desire to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition for the love of money. I just love money. I can love God and use money, or I can love money and live miserable. But the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Chasing the money trail can lead to misery. And when you really think about it, if you're a billionaire and you've got all these bodyguards and this, you're always thinking about holding on to your stuff. You've always got to think about stuff instead of just praising God for what you have. So there's a great desire in just the simplicity of life. And one more parallel passage, James 5:1. And this is really talking about the last days. Because the rich are getting truly super rich. And you know what? I praise God for rich people because they keep the rest of us employed. But it's the attitude towards the riches. You know, people have told me, oh, you know, the rich people are getting rich. I go, I thank God for the rich people. Rich people make factories. They make this, they make that allows people to have jobs. Rich people have like grocery stores and so that people can eat food and all these other things. It's just that, it's just the mindset of what we're after. You know, does everybody understand? It's the purpose of the heart. And then, but the rich in our day, these billionaires, they want more billions. They want control. They want to get completely in control of everybody. Come now, you rich. Weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. The rich guys in the world today are thinking they're going to give the world a utopia. And they're going to be at the top. And they're going to be in control. And God has something to say about that. It's recorded in the book of Revelation. And it is going to be like what we just read in Revelation. Everybody's going to be hiding themselves. The wrath, the global earthquakes, the global pestilence, the global problems and upheavals that are going to be happening. The locusts coming from the pit and stinging people. The boils that break out on everybody that takes the mark of the beast. All these things are going to hit rich and poor alike. And it's going to be miserable. Howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver corroded. I mean, this would indicate that gold and silver is going to be useless at some point. And you know what? Throughout history, that's never been true. But in a cashless society, it's perfectly true. You won't be able to do anything with gold and silver. You won't be able to buy or sell with it. And their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Indeed, the wages of laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Shabbat, the Lord of hosts. So, God sees, he sees the people that says, oh, I want to hire you contractor and I want you to do this. And they get all done. They do the materials, they do the labor, and they say, yeah, I know you don't have enough money to sue me, so, you know, I'm not going to pay you. And he sees that that happens. It happens all the time in the world. You've lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fatted your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren. Talk to us, those that live by faith. Be patient, living by faith, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And we are, I keep on emphasizing this, bad times are coming. They're coming. And we have to just realize, like Habakkuk is being told in Habakkuk, I'm going to judge, and I'm going to deal with the prideful. It's going to affect you. And Habakkuk ends with, that's okay. And we're just going to have to say, it's okay. Because he told us right here, a farmer, he does all that work, plants those seeds. God, you got to give me that early rain to let it germinate and get going. You see the early rain, you go, oh, how cool. And then you say, oh, it looks like I'm actually going to be able to eat pretty good this next year. And you see it all coming up, but the locusts could come. The drought could come. The Midianites might come, and right after I harvest it, they could just take it all for themselves and leave me with nothing. God, please, let the latter rain come. Let it come so I can eat. And then the farmer eats. And what's our eating? Going to be with God in heaven. And so just be like a farmer, realizing it's not over till it's over, and it's over when we take our last breath and we wake up in heaven and everything's okay. Back to 2:10. You give shameful... We got to close here. Should have closed. Why don't we... We'll pick it up in 2:10 next week. How's that? Because that's a good place to summarize it. Is it overstating that the world is really very deeply entrenched in the things that God is disdaining so far in this chapter 2? It really shocks me how it's almost impossible to ever hear the word Jesus affectionately in any way, shape, or form. In the media, in the news, people wanting to even testify, even when people will say the good man, you know, some football players said something, you know, the man upstairs lets me play football. Really? The man upstairs? Okay. I mean, it just, wow. There's so much delusion, so much deception, so many different Jesuses out there that we truly are becoming a godless world that is not living by faith in the true biblical Jesus. And judgment's coming. And for those who've been around for a while, I keep saying the rapture has to be before a war that leads to a fourth of the world's population dying. And we have all the nuclear missiles in Russia being put on full military alert. We probably have all of our submarines loading up with a full boat that are going out of Bangor in Kings Bay, Georgia. We have all the navies that are arriving to deal with the Psalm 83, Isaiah 17 scenario. I mean, the Isaiah 17, Psalm 83 scenario are perfectly in place to have everything happen. And Damascus ceases from being a city. And other cities are being abandoned by their people because there's desolation because of Israel, is what it says in Isaiah 17. And here the whole world's ready to blame Israel for whatever's going to happen. It's all exactly ready to happen. And if you don't know about Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, then again, go to our website. And I have a YouTube teaching from 10 years ago. Nothing changed about the Bible, so the teaching is still applicable.
You have hair.
Huh?
You have hair.
Did I have hair back then? Really? Yeah. Somebody was looking at another 10-year-old video and said, wow, you were so much younger then. Thank you for that.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, 69 for the record tomorrow. So my last is 68. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is a 2,700-year-old prophecy. It is about to be. That's been in waiting. It's been in hibernation for 2,700 years. 2,700 years. And the bear is about to come out of hibernation. And it's going to happen. And we're going to be just like Habakkuk. God, I understand why you're doing it. Judgment's coming. It's okay. If it affects me, that's okay too. I'm going to heaven. That's the only thing that we can rest in. Father, we rejoice in you. We thank you for your goodness to us. And we thank you for the hope that you give us. And Lord, we are not going to like it when it comes in our fleshly ways. But God, we thank you that the just shall live by faith. And that we have the Spirit that dwells within us, truly being born again and knowing that you've given us a hope that the world cannot take away. And a peace that is beyond human comprehension, that the world does not understand. The peace that only you can give. That we know that we're just temporary pilgrims passing through on this temporary life on our way to an eternal relationship with you forever in heaven. God, help us to keep that perspective in the coming days. In Jesus' name, amen.
White as snow, white as snow, though my sins were as scarlet, Lord, I know, Lord, I know, that I'm clean and forgiven through the power of your blood, through the wonder of your love, through faith in you I know that I can be. White as snow, white as snow, though my sins were as scarlet, Lord, I know, Lord, I know, that I'm clean and forgiven through the power of your blood, through the wonder of your love, through faith in you I know that I can be. White as snow. The wonder of your love, through faith in you I know that I can be white as snow.
White as snow. I mean, can you imagine all the sins you've ever committed? God takes his precious blood of his son, and even though it's red, it just miraculously turns it all white. Cleansed forever and ever by the power of God's grace for those who call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. That's our message. And you would think everybody would just say, tell me more. How can I do it? Get on your knees. And you know, they say, I want to get on my knees and I want to receive that. But there's a devil who's deceived them and they don't. Except for the few that will listen and humble themselves. God bless you. Keep you in his care while you reach out to those lost people. Amen.